Welcome to Sustain and Innovate Conference by Performance Days and Sports Fashion by SAZ. You are listening to an expert talk from November 2019. Ms. Anna Rodewald, partner Green Room Voice, presents Sustainable Business Beyond Products, People and Processes.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, as you see, our next guests are already here. Anna Rodewald, she's a really deep specialist in sustainability, textile sustainability. She brought stunning guests to us. So Anna, thank you for being here. To the audience, enjoy the lecture. I hand over the mic.
So thank you very much. My name is Anna Rodewald from Green Room Voice, and I have the honor to have three specialists here today for a talk on sustainable business. So we have Caroline from Hessnatur, we have Rosie from ISCO, and we have James from Kingwell. Thank you very much for being here. And our topic for today is sustainable business beyond all the stuff we already know about materials and things like that. And we have three inspiring partners here to talk a bit about their experience in their businesses and share their knowledge with you. And I would like to ask you first to introduce yourself and your company and what you're doing, because not everybody might know all your companies here. Starting with the ladies.
So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Caroline Pagliano. I'm Hessnatur. I'm head of supply chain at Hessnatur, which is a German company and pioneer in sustainability in Europe, especially in Germany. So we do biomoda and sustainable products since 40 years, and we only work with natural fibers. So we are very well engaged in many social projects, not only on the product itself, but in the whole sustainable environment behind. And taking one example from the question before and the previous panel, somebody asked about responsibility. So I'm very proud to say that Hessnatur was one of the most responsible companies in the sustainability, and we make sure to make the whole supply chain very transparent behind. So looking forward for your questions today.
Hi, my name is Rosie Cortazzi, and I work for the Mill ISCO, and we do both denim and sportswear fabrications. Everything we do is done in a responsible way, and everything we do, we don't just say it, we prove it with a third party proof.
Hi, my name is James. I'm president of Kingwell. We're a company that specializes in performance fabric from a vertical standpoint. We develop our own material, yarns, fabric, and we run a vertical operation into garments as well. So everything we do obviously has a sustainable mind from process, from working with the customers. Everything we do is all about how can we make things better. I look forward to sharing more insights that we're doing differently than anyone's in the market. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We have about 40 minutes in total for the session, and we have some space afterwards, some time for your questions. So whenever your questions are rising up, keep them in your mind, and we will have time afterwards for you to place those questions to our panelists. As a preparation, I had the chance to talk to all of our three experts here, and I learned a lot on which kind of sustainable practices, business practices, they already follow. And for the beginning, I would like to ask Rosie to tell us a bit more about her program, which they call Track and Trace. So how do they make sure that within the whole supply chain, they know what is going on where, because everybody's talking about supply chains, but at the end we know that it's not like a chain, it's like a matrix, so there's so many partners involved, and how to make sure that all the detailed informations are brought from one partner to the next, that at the end consumer knows what the product is about.
I'm going to start even before then. What I want to start with is firstly a notion that maybe people haven't been discussing or have been touched on in the last couple of sessions, but the discussion about reduction. How can we use less? In the last 50 years, us, all of us, have used more of the Earth's resources than the whole of humanity before us. So we are the naughty generation. And ideally, you'd all be sitting here naked. But make an interesting panel, but not necessarily ideal in the middle of winter. So the notion for me is, how can we reduce? And at ISCO recently, we've developed a pioneering concept, which we call R2. And here, we actually take and make reused cotton from our own loss. So through the grinning and spinning stage, around about 10% is lost. And we have pioneered a process with our yarn supplier, Sanko, to actually reuse that cotton. And it's traced all the way through the process, working with the textile exchange. And we have, for that product, the content claim standard a certification. So this is a really new thinking. So if I'm wearing something that has 10% reused cotton in it, it is 10% less virgin product that we would use in the first place. So it's like, how can we be more responsible about the amount of raw material that we use in the beginning? So for me, the big message is reduction.
Thank you, Rosie, for that emotional answer.
I'm passionate about reduction.
I guess we are all passionate about sustainability, otherwise we wouldn't stand here or sit here. As you are talking about materials, next to you, Caroline, she has a long, long history in working on material developments, on going into communication with partners on how to get more sustainable raw materials, fabrics, yarns, and everything. So, Caroline, can you share a bit of insights on your process and how you started that, this kind of communication and product development stages?
Of course. As I spoke of at the beginning, for Hasnatur, it's a very important, the natural fibers, and it comes in a different ways. We do have a lot of heritage materials, and this comes from everywhere in the world, what makes the supply chain very complex. So starting by that, we do have one of most complex supply chain which is possible to have. So it means when we talk about natural fibers, for example, we might have alpaca from Peru, and we might have yak from Mongolia, and we might have different fibers for all over the world. And we always have to think about how to make the footprint in a way that is responsible, because it's not only about the product, but it's about the whole chain behind. So when we think about in these different ways, we do have a different projects all over the world. And we do have a very special project that maybe is interesting to mention here, which is called Hessen Linen. And it's about linen. So as you know, linen is one of the most sustainable materials. It's a natural fiber, and it's one that has the less waste in the whole chain, since the farming until the product. And you basically can use everything from the material. So what we do have a support for the farming in Germany, in Hessen area. So we support the local economy, we support the local business, and still we are very intensifying the growing of this natural fiber here. So we use this in all the stages of the process, on the long stables and the natural fibers on the linen fabric, and the short stables, we reuse it. So this comes along in terms of circularity as well. So what makes us close the loop? So that's a second topic. We take the crop or the flax crop, and we reuse it and to cottonize the fiber to make it a new fabrics. So this is one example, but anyhow, the whole footprint related to the supply chain, it's very much tracked, and we go very deep to make sure that in any case, we reuse all that's possible. It comes into the topics of recycling, it comes into the topic circularity, it comes into the topic in several ways that we take care not only of the not only of the product, but also the environment. And yes, for Hasnat too is very important, the materials. So our collection don't start from the product, we start really from the materials, where they come from, and that's how we build up our supply chain. So it's very much spread around the world, but we try to concentrate not only the material, but the production, where this material comes from.
Thank you a lot, Caroline. Circularity is one of the key words which we see a lot here and where we have read probably a lot about. I spoke this morning with James, and he explained to me how they see circularity and how they help with a very special process to do something what we all dream about, what we know that it's pretty difficult to bring a textile into a textile. We all know that there is a lot of recycled polyester around, which is made from PET bottles, but making a yarn out of a PET bottle is something different than recycling a polyester textile, garment, apparel into a yarn which can turn up in a new apparel again.
Sure. I think the idea really comes from there's a lot of clothing out there. I think people looking at circularity. There's a lot of things done in, you know, taking bags on bottles currently and taking bottles back and make it into yarn. So taking bottles, making back into bottles. There are operations out there taking wastage, textiles, or garments. What mostly done right now is they clean it and then they redistribute it to probably like third countries, third world countries, or any charities for reuse. But then there's still a lot of concept out there. I think right now people talk about like fast fashion. There's a lot of products out there making for a purpose just because to be more affordable. That is a reality. I think most people here on the brands, I mean, will the consumer pay more just because it's made by a recycled product? I think in the past, I mean, I think that is the challenge for a lot of brands or like manufacturers like us wants to do something better. But in fact, there is a cost to be better, at least at this stage. So I think it's important for a company to have a sustainable strategy before you even want to think about what you want to do. So our strategy is how can we make, because we're more using more synthetic fibers, our goal is how can we reduce the usage of the natural resources that we have, you know, petrochemicals, where we actually there's a lot of, you know, drilling on the oils, there's water's usage, there's chemical usage, there's wastewater treatment. So when we look at the whole process, I think Kingwell in this regard, it's pretty a standard operation for us to make sure that every process we do has a sustainable mindset to it, and it's traceable, it's transparent. So beyond that, what we're working on is how can we reuse real cradle to cradle, which we're able to take garments or fab textile wastage and turn it back into fibers. I think that's something that should be a more innovative way to resolve the issues on how we, I think, again, we really have to start with how do we reduce the usage of designing unnecessary garments. And our objective is we could, the technology right now is available and is proven commercial, is we're able to take garment or textile wastage, anything has a polyester basis fabric or material, we're able to go through a depolymerization process and then go back to its chemical form. So it's actually a truly chemical process. It takes off all the colors, it takes off all the impurities. At the end of the day, that specific material also requires kind of minimize the usage of petrochemical. So from day one, if we start with the virgin polyester and make it into a fabric, since that after that, once we collect the garment, we're able to turn the garment back into its original chemical stage and go through the whole polymerization process and make the yarn with a very, very limited usage in petrochemical. I think that has been commercialized, has been proven on a pilot concept, and obviously we're on in the process of trying to scale that and hopefully make it more available and more cost effective.
There are a lot of questions about this recycling processes because often people say, hey, come on, now you have to transport it, then you need energy again to restart the new process. And it's sometimes difficult to find a good solution, to find your way through this jungle of information. And one of the only tools we have to get an idea on what is the best solution to take, what is the best decision to take, is doing an ecological, looking to the ecological footprint, looking into life cycle assessment data or LCA data. And I talked about that with Rosie yesterday, because at ISCO they also use this tool of LCA, which is the only scientifically proven method. There is an ISO norm for it, which is useful to follow. On the question, how do they use this kind of tool for their decisions in the company, which kind of process to follow, what kind of material to use.
Okay, I'm just going to say something to challenge James before I start on that, because, you know, that's me. I don't think that being responsible should be more expensive. And I do think that responsible fabrics should be accessible to all. And that's what we're really trying to do at ISCO, to make sure that it is accessible to all. But when it comes to life cycle assessments, we actually offer life cycle assessments on all 25,000 fabrics that we have in our portfolio. What that means is, say for instance, you're my customer sitting there at the front and you want to know about a particular fabric, I can provide you with an EPD. And that EPD will provide you with the carbon footprint of that fabric, which will allow you to make more responsible choices about where you want to go with your design collection. And the thing is with this is actually we created the product category rules for the industry, and we want all our competitors to also use this. Because, you know, bring it on. If one of our competitors has a better, more responsible fabric than our fabric, I want to know and I want to see whether I can improve. And for me, the life cycle assessments and the EPD actually helps us to raise the whole industry up. So, you know, bring it on. If there's somebody that thinks they're a competitor, you know, we can provide the information about how to do the life cycle assessments. Because, you know what, in terms of changing the industry, no one is going to do it alone. And when it comes to responsibility, it's almost like the barriers of competition have to kind of disappear.
Thank you very much. We have some more information about footprint and how to use this kind of tools from a brand perspective. And Caroline can tell us a bit more about how Hessner Tour is using this kind of information to find decisions within the company.
Absolutely. As I said, we are a brand. So we are at the end, the connection between the suppliers, or let's call partners, to the end customers. And it's on us, yes, the responsibility to make sure that our supply chain is responsible, is transparent, and we can provide the right product for the customers. As I said at the beginning, we do have fibers coming from everywhere, and what we do, we try to make as much as possible the manufacturing also close to the source of this material. It means that we have production all over the world, and we don't take care only of the product, but the manufacturing, but also the social standards, the conditions that the workers have, the environmental conditions, and the social part as well, what makes everything very important. So at the end, when we have a product to sell, we don't sell only the product, but we have the value of the chain behind, and we do have the responsibility to make, to say that all the people involved in the process are really in a good way, let's put like that. So when we have these developments in special areas, for example, we do have a special project in Nepal. So it means we do have a fiber from there, then we have the manufacturing from there, and we support a local community. At the end, yes, we do have the footprint to transport this product back to Germany and to sell to German market or to Europe. But it's much better when you do like in this way and you concentrate all your sources in a single direction, then you take different materials all over the world. So it's definitely the best way to do. Of course, we do have also tracking back to the source in case when we have the wool, we do know where is the farming, we know where the treatment for the sheep, we know how the process works, we know everything from the farming until the yarn. So that's the best way when you are really transparent behind and you make sure that the whole chain is responsible.
Thank you, Caroline, and thank you for giving a highlight also on this topic, social topic. Because if we look around here, if somebody's talking about sustainability, and nearly everybody this fair is talking about sustainability, there is so much about ecological footprints, ecological costs, recycling, and so on. But as we all know, sustainability means having a good balance between the ecological, the economical, and the social part. And I guess within the textile industries, the social topics are very important also to have a look into. And in my discussion with Rosie, I learned also how ISCO is taking care about social topics in the supply chain, specifically the question, how are the people paid? And how important is it not only, in brackets only, to look into minimum wages, but also look into living wages, for example?
Well, before I worked for ISCO, I would sometimes go to places like Bangladesh, and I would ask, how much did the worker get paid? And honestly, I would be shocked, because the minimum wage is something like $90 a month. And with that, you can barely feed yourself, let alone do everything else. But at ISCO, one of the things that, you know, I feel really proud about is we guarantee that all our workers get paid a living wage. And what that means is they have enough to educate their children, they have enough for housing, they have enough also to manage in their life. If there is a crisis and something happens to them, they can be know that they're safe and secure. But literally, on top of that, we do other things as well. So they're all unionized. So they're all protected by the union. And that's not just ourselves at ISCO. That's also our parent company, Sanko. And then we also have something called Kaizens, which is where every single worker is able to get involved in the decisions that the company make and bubble up their own ideas. And the real positive about it is, like, you know, hey, you know, people say, well, you know, what's the win for ISCO in that, you know? But like, we have amazing staff retention. We have this absolute passion from everybody about what they do. You can stop anybody in our factory and talk to them, you know, about what they're doing. And a lot of them have been like 20 years with the company, and we have this amazing history. And you know, nobody suddenly feels, you know, oh gosh, I'm going to leave tomorrow to go for an extra, you know, couple of dollars extra. So. Yeah, I'm really passionate about the living wage, and I think we're all responsible here for making sure that all that we ask that question, and we also raise it up to our leadership in the company, who's telling you margin, because I know I've been there, and I've been sitting and trying to fight for something that would be better, and you know, I've had a boss that has said, no, you got to make the margin. But it is about doing the right thing and just knowing in your heart that you've done it.
Thank you very much. You're talking about how you communicate within the partnerships with your suppliers, with your bosses and partners in the industry. I talked this morning with James, and he explained me very colorful on how he, as a or his company as a yarn supplier, fabric supplier, how they communicate, how they partner up with their customers on the question of sustainable topics, but also on sustainable innovation, how they... I asked him, who is leading this process? And he said, yeah, it's coming from all directions. And probably you can tell us a bit more details about that.
Well, I think the whole, again, I mentioned about sustainable strategy. It's very important that every company has their sustainable strategy, because we have to share the same value. We have to look at the things. I think it's always good to look at things differently, but I think and reach the final goals kind of together. So I mean, obviously, we in our company, we continue to engineer sustainability from a product standpoint, from an operational standpoint. There are lots of standards out there, like Ecotex, like BlueSign, or you know, lots of different organizations really pushing towards how you measure, how you really operate a sustainable operation. So we actually look at our process. We look at how we engineer our machineries, how we engineer our materials. I think the beauty for us to being verticality and a very strong background in machineries allow us to look at how can we engineer product through the material, through the process, through the operation. For instance, we kind of engineering our own machineries and material science. So we are able to engineer a polyester, a virgin polyester, which we could dye at less than 100 degrees Celsius, where conventionally you would dye polyester at 130 degrees. These are examples that how we could be more sustainable, which, you know, by be able to dye at lesser temperature, that helps reduce the uses of water, energy. You mean less waters mean less wastage, mean less chemical usage. So it is a combined effort from the market, and from we continue to think about what's next. You know, combining, I think this morning the discussion was really how to really drive sustainability beyond what we're doing right now. And then it really requires both ways, working with the brands, working with the, understand the consumer need, understand what the world is changing towards, and continue to drive our operations so different. And so that's what we're working on. Some more, right now, to talk about, you know, bio-based, we're talking about biodegradable. We're experimenting a lot of different material science just to resolve the issues. Previously, I talked about garment recycling. I think that's a whole ecosystem ways of reducing what's out there in terms of wastage. But I think proactively, what can we produce something that would probably don't even have to try to recycle it? So, you know, bio-based, biodegradable thing. And there's lots of testing here. There's a lot of people questioning how it actually works. But I believe you're not getting a solution today, because for the testing, you can do it in lab. But really, you want to see the result. It's going to take time. I just think it people just have to believe your partner that, you know, all the works they're doing, I think there's a trust here that we would try to do something better. So I think that's the best way to work together.
So probably we can you can handle the microphone to Caroline again, because as we learned, development needs both. Needs somebody who can produce it, but also somebody who has the access to the market to understand what the customers need, what the end consumer need. How do you start new developments, sustainable developments? Is it just an idea? Are you inspired by what you see from your suppliers, or?
It's actually absolutely the opposite. I mean, we always have to have a balance between the core materials, because we also want to be responsible. So once we develop something or we bring something to the market or we are engaged in some product, we want to keep that and make like the flow runs through. But when we talk about innovation and the share, it's a lot related to what comes next. So what can we do on top of what's already available in the market to make the sustainability even stronger? So when we talk about organic cotton, great. Organic cotton is already a step further than the conventional cotton, but what comes later? So then we talk about recycled organic cotton. Where is it in the market? Is it still not here? So we have some different topics that we always raise and we always want to have. So when we look around, for example, here at the fair, and I think it's a great push to the suppliers itself, because it's a lot of cellulosic fibers, which is great. But when we talk about natural fibers, mostly it's already available in the market, but what can we make next? So when we talk about crop and the waste of food, this is something which, yes, is in a development stage, is something very new, but when it goes back to the nature, is something which makes even stronger. So every time we talk about innovation, we think about first what comes next in terms of innovation, what helps our planet, what makes the future better to our children, what is the first step in this direction. Then, of course, we look to the market, we have a great partners, we don't call them suppliers, we call partners, we have great, which they also come many times with the different innovations, and then we combine our heads together and we say, okay, how can we bring it to the next step, but can we make something new for the customers? Because it's always something to combine what's already existing, the responsibility, what we are doing, and what comes in the terms of innovation. And it's a combination from everything what I said, and every time we ask, are we part of the solution or are we part of the problem? And mostly of the times we realize that, yes, we are doing a solution for many topics which are not still considering in the market.
I see there is a lot of energy in collaboration. And I'm really happy about that because from my point of view, it's a big chance what we have here in our industry, in this part of the industry, to find solutions for the problems what we all see, which affect all our business, to work together, to collaborate on solutions, to join our power, and to go into a discussion between the different partners. I really like your word partners better than suppliers, so probably we should change it here as well. And looking to the posters over there, we see that we have the Sustainable Development Goals, which are also something which we all share globally. And the goal which is on top of all is Goal 17. It's collaboration for the goals, and that's what we have seen here within the last 35 minutes. And I'm really happy that we have some examples on how collaboration for a more sustainable industry could work. This has been the questions I asked my audience, but now I would like to open the space for you, because I hope that you have been inspired by all the input our panelists gave into the audience. So it's another 15 minutes we have minimum for your questions when you have time.
Thank you very much for this inspiring presentation from the three of you. It's very nice to hear people being that hopeful about the future and about what you're doing. And with that said, I hate to blow the party and come with such a negative question. But Rosie said that you don't have to be responsible. Oh, you don't have to spend more money to be a responsible manufacturer. But how can you... You know, if you have 25,000 different LCAs for the products that you have, that you manufacture, if you make sure that all your workers earn not just a minimum wage but a living wage, how can you achieve that equation of being responsible at the same time keeping costs down?
This is one of my boss's favorite questions because people ask him all the time this question. And the way that he built the company, he just goes, well, you know, if you have a tap, you don't go out and leave it running all day. You turn it off. And the way ISCO works is we have an environmental management system that is certified to international standards, which monitors absolutely everything, all our parameters, not just water, because I'm bored of hearing just water. It's water, it's heat, it's every single element, chemicals, every single element to make sure that we're absolutely minimizing the environmental impacts of all of those. And of course, with that, we're using less and less. Using less in manufacturing the way that we do is actually not more expensive. It's actually cheaper and makes good business sense. And it allows us to afford to do the other things that we want to do. So it doesn't have to be more expensive. In my view, responsibility is good business sense and can be go hand in hand with being more profitable.
Caroline and James, you make sure that your production is next to the place where your raw material comes from. So many different locations, many different partners. Do you think the same thing, you can achieve the same thing in your brand in the same way that Rosie and ISCO is doing it? And James, the same question.
Well, it's a different setup because we are a brand and ISCO is a manufacturing. I mean, they make fabrics and they do the manufacturing too. Of course, it's a different stages of the process, but we all have to work together and close your minds together to find a solution into this direction. It depends a lot. The supply chain can be more expensive, more cheaper, depends on the cost that you believe to. But in fact, yes, when you really is determined to bring this into next step and you combine all the efforts, not only in the product, but in the production and the fibers and the farming and the sourcing and all the steps behind, it is possible that you bring it to next step. And this don't has necessarily to be more expensive. It depends on the way you do it. And in our case, that we are a brand, it's on us to push the suppliers or the partners and to help and to work together and to find innovation and to find the right direction to bring this into a level that comes accessible to other brands too. But then it's also a question to the other brands to join and also to go in this direction, because it depends a lot what the market asks. And if the market is really driven to have this achievement or has this goal and to go into sustainability and to bring all the steps in this direction, it is possible. We just need to get together and to really believe in this direction. So what we do many times, we do have partners which they have very, let's say we have a different size of suppliers or partners, and some of them are small. And when they are small, they are a little bit behind of some technology or they are not so accessible in some cases. We do support them to make the productivity in a different way, which makes for them easy to reduce the price, for example. And yes, we also take care of a living wage, we take care of environmental conditions and all the steps behind. As I said, it's just a matter of believing that and to engage in this cause.
As a manufacturer, to answer your questions, I'm sorry, I wouldn't agree with Rosie here that the actually cost will go down, because there is operational cost. I mean, it is a math thing, right? You're paying them $90, now you're paying $190 right now. So how that is an increase, I'm talking about purely on a monetary concept. It does increase your cost. But yes, there may be some savings, but in terms of, like, even though our technology on trying to lower usage of water, uses of energy, that actually there is an offset there because there's some adjustment, there's some investment you have to do, and that takes years for you to recruit that investment. So the cost for operation, the cost for R&D actually is raising every year because you have to continue to put money into it, putting resource to it. It's probably everyone had the same problem, is finding good people want to engage into these industries. If you have a chance to visit our factory in Taiwan, we try to build our factory, looks like a museum, just to attract local, just to attract young people to get into the industries. The reason I wanted to make more sustainable is want to let people know you're not working in a factory that is, you know, hot, humid. We have air conditioning in our factories. We try to make it better for people to come and work with us and to join this industry to make it more innovative. And just imagine you're putting air conditioning to it. You're trying to make your more spaces. You're trying to, yes, there are technologies out there right now for automation, which we're actually doing, you know, the Industrial 4.0 out there, innovations in terms of automations. Yes, these are all investments, but it doesn't recruit dearly. So I think the only way, but does that stop us to continue to do that, to do all these good things? Especially right now, there are certain brands are, you know, in Taiwan, we also have foreign workers. In the past, the agents that they, you know, the workers themselves pays for everything to bring to, you know, to get themselves from various countries to come to Taiwan to work. Now, there are brands out there really pushing for zero fee, meaning that manufacturers has to take all the responsibility in terms of costing for all the costs for them to come work in our country. Their permits, their air ticket, their insurance we have to provide living, everything. And in Taiwan, the living standard is not low, and that actually drives up the cost. But do you have to do that? Yes. Being a social responsible company, if you want to sustain your operation, I believe that is something we have to do. But then again, you know, then it comes to the reality, how do we sustain that investment and still be cost competitive? I think as an organization, we just look at it at a long term. You know, every investment, we're not looking at, you know, you're going to invest in, like, we're not like a public company that you have to get back your investment in 3, 5 years. We're looking at 5 years, 10 years, continue to bring value to the market. There's a market price that is acceptable. How can we sustain that price and continue to bring innovation? We're looking at the long term, so the company survives. Whoever works in the company, you know, gets their living standard they want. So I think that's how we look at it. The reality is the overall cost, not only from manufacturing, but trying to operate a business in a more sustainable way. The cost, I mean, I'm sure you all know the living standard. People asking more, you know, you want to fulfill, you know, their stomach, you want to fulfill their mindset. We're working on a lot of social welfare. You know, we're trying to engage more charity in the countries or outside the countries. For example, we're involved in Africa, in a country, helping a charity that they actually goes out. They have the homeless, they have the children, you know, going out, picking up bottles. And then they collect all the bottles. We ship all the bottles. Originally, the plan was to ship all the bottles to Taiwan and process them. But we thought we're engaging in that right now. We're offering a turnkey solution in that country right now, is we'll help them to set up a whole facility to really help recycle the bottles and make them all into chips. And then from chips, you can really start to sell everywhere in the world, whoever made yarns. I think that really helps that society to be more sustainable and helps people to really earn some money, you know, resolve some social issues, and also help develop the economy in that countries as well. So those are the things that we try to be engaged worldwide to kind of compensate the investment that we do.
Thanks a lot for this example of a very broad collaboration from Taiwan to Africa that's spanning half of the world, half of the globe. That's fantastic. Is there any other question from your end? There's still some time.
I have a question regarding the customer, because in the end, it's the customer that chooses which product they buy at what price. So there's already plenty of customers that find the social and sustainability issue very important, but some don't. I'm one of them. I don't always look at where the product comes from, what material it's made of. And I always, most of the time, choose a product that is cheaper. So do you have maybe any insight on how to make customers like me more sensitive to this issue and maybe choose a better product? and be willing to maybe spend a little more?
I might answer a bit of that. There have been a very interesting speech yesterday about data from Taxiwirtschaft. And I learned a lot about this gap, again, between what people want and what people really do and who is willing to pay what for what kind of service and what kind of sustainable product ingredients. I guess if you would wait another week, all the presentations will be online, and you can see the whole presentation from yesterday from Taxiwirtschaft, and you will learn a lot of data on that to have at least that data thing covered. And of course, there are always people around which have different goals, different values, and from my point of view, it's a lot of possibilities here to be inspired on how to get more sustainable, how to buy more sustainable. But of course, there are a lot of people around who can help you if you really like to find ways for your own to answer your own questions and to find a way which fits to your pattern, definitely, or for the one of your peers. That is my answer to your question. Probably one of you would like to bring a new insight, specifically Caroline.
I find very interesting your question, and it is reality, actually. We do have a lot of customers which are very engaged in sustainability, and they look for brands which have history behind. But there is also a lot of customers which maybe they didn't feel that the globe it's screaming for help. So could be that we do have different situations. In our case, we are a brand since 40 years pioneering sustainability, and we have very strong customer background. So every collection, they are waiting to see the news, and they know that it's something which is good for their skin, that is free of chemicals, that's not causing allergy, or something like that. And for the new customers, I just ask you something then maybe. So when you think about fast fashion and slow fashion, so if you're the customer which pays cheaper for something which is just trend and you can use this season, but next season you have to throw it away and you have to spend money again, it's not cheaper because you go over and over for the same product and same thing that is not simply lasting in your wardrobe. And when you consume more sustainable products, it means different approaches, of course. In our case, I'm talking about natural fibers. So natural fibers, they are stronger. I mean, as I used the example at the beginning of the linen, you have strength. You can use it for many seasons. You can use it for many years, and it will last in your wardrobe for 10 years. So at the end, it's not cheaper. So it's just the way of consumption that the customers have. And once this is clear and is easily understandable, you see that when you go for this low fashion, you go for higher quality, you go for timeless pieces that you can keep on your wardrobe for much longer. So that's what we do, actually.
Can I also say something on the subject? I think there are millions of people like you, and there's millions of housewives with three children out there that just don't have the money. And for me, it really is down to brands and manufacturers like us to do the right thing and to make sure that all products out there is responsible. I mean, you know, if you get on a plane, we're not asking you to fly the plane. And here, I honestly don't think it is the customer's job. I really don't. Obviously, we know Gen Y and Gen Z are prepared to walk away from brands that don't demonstrate that they're good corporate citizens. But it isn't their job. It's our job, manufacturers, brands, to provide the product out there at the right price for you. And you should be actually not having to worry about it. Whatever you buy, ultimately, my dream is that it is a responsible product.
Okay, then I would like to thank you for your time, for your interest. If there is any question which pops up into your mind later on, Kingwell has a booth here, Isco has a booth here, Caroline will definitely be easy to reach via social media or to find at Hesnatur. Myself, I am available at Grünen Voice. And so if there's anything which pops into your mind, contact us. And otherwise, I'm happy to see you soon here in Munich for whatever occasion is for our next fair here and performances. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Sustain and Innovate Conference by Performance Days and Sports Fashion by SAZ. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other expert talks, go to performancedays.com. Copyright November 2019 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.